Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. From the boxing gym in his hometown of Chinle, Arizona, to the sets of major motion pictures, Tatanka Means has made a name for himself. His face is immediately recognizable on screen, where he has portrayed historical figures, FBI agents, and even the creator. He's also made a name for himself as a stand-up comedian, performing live on stage all over the country. But back home, he's just a dad, rooting for his daughter on the basketball court. We'll catch up with Tatanka Means as our native in the spotlight right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native communities across the country continue to raise concerns about potential impacts from President Trump's executive orders and other administration actions. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports, Native organizations from across the country are responding.
Of particular concern was a late January Office of Management and Budget memo that temporarily froze federal payments and sowed ongoing uncertainty across the country.
To see the federal funding freeze was very alarming and concerning for many folks within Indian country.
That's Matthew Campbell, Deputy Director of the Native American Rights Fund, speaking from Boulder, Colorado. His group was one of a number of Native organizations that recently sent a letter demanding the Trump administration make sure the U.S. government abides by its treaty obligations to tribal nations. The OMB memo was ultimately rescinded, but Campbell says concern remains. He noted that federal funding helps support law enforcement, education, and health care in Native communities. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski herself sent a letter to OMB demanding it direct federal agencies to ensure federal funding to tribes is not affected by Trump's executive orders. I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Native youth are urging tribal leaders to invest in young people. Youth leaders at the National Congress of American Indians winter legislative session say young people are addressing many of the challenges facing their communities today, including climate change, education, and language revitalization. NCAI Youth Commission co-presidents Madison Brown and Angelina Cerna delivered remarks to tribal leaders gathered in Washington, D.C. this week. Cerna says indigenous knowledge, which includes young people, is a valuable tool for healing, governance, and a thriving future.
We must ensure that our leaders, our elders, our youth, and our spiritual guides are present in every room where decisions are being made about our future. It is about ensuring that our voices shape the conversation. It is about understanding that the solutions to many of the crises we face lie in the deep lived experiences of our peoples.
Brown asked tribal leaders to advance youth leadership programs to help them better understand policies and legislative processes at the tribal, state, and federal level.
The current state of Native youth is filled with hope and determination. We are not asking for permission to exist or simply to continue tribal youth programs. We are asserting our place in the world. Yes, we are youth, and there is responsibility in advancing our priorities, but we are youth with lived experiences and deeply rooted in the teachings of our elders.
A youth leadership summit is being held during the NCAI conference. Both wrap up on Thursday. Chronic wasting disease was detected for the first time on Northwest Montana's Flathead Reservation. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports tribal officials are now sampling deer herds to see how widespread the fatal disease is.
CWD is a fast-spreading disease that's 100% fatal to deer, elk, and moose. It's been detected throughout Montana, but until now hasn't been seen on Confederated Salish and Kootenai lands. The tribe say a mule deer taken by a tribal hunter tested positive. The deer was killed in the northeastern corner of the reservation. Rich Jansen is the head of the tribe's Natural Resources Department.
And our people don't want it on the reservation. That is a big thing for us because it's a culturally sensitive food source, frankly, that we utilize.
There hasn't been a documented case of humans becoming infected, but federal health officials advise against eating animals that test positive. Jensen says his staff will sample at least 150 animals to get a better understanding of how widespread the disease is. I'm Aaron Bolton.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing millions of dollars of scholarships to Native students every year. Applications are accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Tatanka Means maintains a busy schedule as a stand-up comedian. You can catch him live next week in Vancouver, British Columbia. You can also catch his on-screen roles in films such as Killers of the Flower Moon, Horizon, and Outer Range. He also just wrapped up production on a Netflix series. When he's not performing on stage or filming on set, he is back home on the Navajo Nation, embracing his role as a basketball dad. Today, he's taking a little of his own downtime to join us as our February Native in the Spotlight. As always, you can join our conversation, too. If you have any comments or questions for Tatanka, the number to the studio in Albuquerque, New Mexico is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us now is Tatanka Means. He is an actor and a comedian. He is Oglala Lakota, Dene, Yankton Dakota, and Omaha. Tatanka, hello. It is an absolute pleasure. Welcome back to Native America Calling, brother.
Wow. Hey, Sean. Good morning. Good morning, Native America. Yate Abine, Totajin Inishle, Oglala Lakota Bushishchain, Omaha Dashache, Dakota Dashenale. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having me today.
That's a lot of languages and a lot of greetings you need to know, having so much tribal representation in your blood, brother. I love that.
Yeah, thank you. I try to keep it up, you know, and teach my kids what I know. And I spoke in a lot of languages and films. So I always try to like learn how to say hello and thank you too for like all the different languages. So Owato, Miigwech, Aho, man, there's a whole bunch of them. Ashuk, to my Apache people. Shout out to my Apache people.
I gotta follow your lead. You know a lot more of these greetings than I do, and we do have a lot of folks on the show. And when it's a language that I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, I'll respond. But sometimes if it's a language I don't really feel all that comfortable with, or I don't know the community that well, I feel a little apprehensive about, you know, I don't want to mispronounce or anything like that. But
yeah, I think at this point, man, we just got to jump in there, no matter how wrong we say it.
That's a good point. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the upcoming comedy special you're filming in Vancouver. What goes into preparing for a project like this?
Oh man, this is my first time I've been asked to perform for a Just for Laughs comedy, and it's kind of a big deal. Like it's kind of a big, it's a huge comedy festival. Like if you're a comedian, you know about Just for Laughs. Like that's where you want to perform. And so this is my first year performing. It's in Vancouver. It's at the Biltmore Theater, and all the fall I knew about it, so I was, you know, testing out different material, trying out new stuff while I was traveling around and touring, and just getting my set list ready. I haven't been to Vancouver, BC in a while, so I'm looking forward to it and seeing everybody.
Do you notice a different type of audience or a different type of energy depending on where you're at? If you're in Canada, if you're down here in the States, if you're in the western part of the country, or you're back east, do you have to kind of change it up a little bit?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. You kind of just adjust on the fly, but yeah, everybody reacts to, you know, different parts of the joke differently. Sometimes. You know, I'm in some place and they start laughing at another part of the joke that, you know, wasn't even the punchline or something. and um, And it's always different, you know, and even the laughter is different. Sometimes it's like a quick, you know, a fast laugh, and then it drops really fast. Other times it's like a thundering, rolling laugh that, you know, takes a couple seconds for it to calm down, where you can go to the, you know, move on to the next thing. But yeah, it's different everywhere you go. But, you know, for Indian country, the humor is always kind of, you know, universal.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any jokes that you tried that just didn't quite work with a native audience for some reason or another?
I have jokes that don't work like every week, you know, but I think at this point, you know, I've just kind of moved through my material. I have a pretty good set that I know what's going to work, you know, where I'm going, because I've been there before. But if I haven't been there before, then sometimes I'm like, all right, you know, we're going to have to adjust on the fly and just, you know, see what works and have other things ready to go.
And you have a lot of non-native folks that come to your shows as well. Now, do you make any pivots or anything like that? Do you ever look out and kind of get a feel for, like, geez, I see a lot of brown faces out there today, or not so many brown faces. Maybe I need to kind of switch it up a little bit, or you just pretty much just go out there blind?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll take a peek at the crowd, you know, see what to expect a little bit. You know, if there's a lot of, you know, non-native people there, I kind of like to, you know, have fun with them and just kind of point out the obvious, you know. Yeah, usually I just, you know, I don't go out there blind. I always have a set ready, and I always change it up everywhere I go. I move things around to wherever I'm going to be at, and to the crowd. Sometimes I perform for, you know, kids or you know, students, or, you know, it's an all ages show. So there's even elders there sometimes. And, you know, you don't want to say some things in front of the elders, but even though they know they've heard worse probably. But yeah, you know, you want to keep the show for me, just, you know, respectable to the audience. And if it's an adult show, you know, maybe we'll let some things fly sometimes.
Let's get a glimpse of what you do on stage, Tatanka. Here's a short clip that was part of your interview on the Southern California PBS show Roots of Comedy with Jesus Trejo.
How many natives have ever been the only one around? A bunch of non-natives sometimes. What happens? You become that native representative, huh? You become that designated shaman. Bird flies over. Then they all look at... That's you. Then they expect us to be bird experts. Now, what kind of bird is that, Indian? Then you don't want to look stupid, you know? You don't want to let down your people. That's an eagle. Some dirty old pigeon or something.
The designated shaman. Tatanka, you draw so much from your native identity. You talk about powwows, drumming, being native in a non-native world. Have you always found humor in that juxtaposition between, you know, you always hear us as native people that old saying, we live in two worlds. And I mean, have you always kind of been dialed into that and saw the humorous elements in that?
Yeah, I feel like I have, you know, just growing up around it. And I think, you know, growing up in Chinle on the res, man, you know, we go to Gallup on the weekends, and whatever res you are on, you go to the border town sometimes on the weekends, and you kind of see, you just notice the differences, right? You notice the differences when you go into the city from at home. And I've always just taken notice of that and found the humor in it, and it made me laugh. And, you know, it was entertaining, you know, to me to observe and watch and kind of take in those things. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm not the funny one in my family. Like my family's funny, like my around the dinner table when I was young growing up, you know, my uncles and my grandma and grandpa and everybody, and my aunties, my mom and dad, they were they were always laughing and funny. My brothers, my cousins, my sisters, you know, everybody was funny. And I always felt like just kind of the observational one. And sometimes, you know, I try to add to the conversation.
Well, that came up on that Roots of Comedy show because Jesus, he talked with your mother and your brother Natani, and they were talking about how the first time you started telling jokes, and they knew you as an athlete, as a boxer, and then all of a sudden you were telling jokes, and you were really good, and they were like, "Wow, we didn't know he had this in him." That was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was kind of an introvert growing up, very very shy. You know, in the 90s, I guess everybody was trying to be cool, and you know, it was that time, man. And you know, I was just kind of a shy person, and I got picked on a lot. Like I talk about in my comedy, for having long hair, for being different. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. One day I performed for my mom, like at home and my family, and you know, it wasn't like a serious thing. Like, this is what I want to do. It was just like, what do you guys think? You know.
Mm-hmm. One thing I really like about your humor is you're not afraid to make fun of yourself a little bit, and you're okay having yourself be kind of the focus of some of your jokes, and that goes a long way with me because I think it's really important to never take yourself too seriously, and I always appreciate that about your performances. And and some of the characters, you know, you play funny characters, you've played serious roles, and when you see yourself on screen, how do you evaluate your performance? What do you look for?
Like in movies?
Yeah, like when you're doing your film and television work.
Oh, man. Like, I try not to look at myself, actually, but it's hard to watch yourself, I think. Myself, for me, it's hard to watch. I don't know. It's just a thing, but... what do I look for? I mean, just, you know, being in the moment, you know, connecting, you know, making sure that it all makes sense. You know, sometimes when you're filming and then they edit and then things, you know, come out differently. So it's always surprising to see a final cut.
I'll bet it is. Yeah. Wow. We're going to take a short break, Tatanka, but we will be back. We'll continue our conversation. We got a lot more to talk about with regard to the projects you're working on and the community of Chinle, Arizona, where you're from, and just other topics as well. And we've got the phone lines open, so we'll get some calls going as well. 1-800-996-2848. Give a shout out to Tatanka Means. Fast-paced and unprecedented actions by the new presidential administration is the backdrop for this year's State of Indian Nations address by the President of the National Congress of American Indians. Protecting important land, the future of Medicaid, and strengthening sovereignty are some of the issues tribal leaders are keeping an eye on. We'll hear the address and get analysis on the next Native America Calling.
MFA programs at the Institute of American Indian Arts, IAIA, honor your voice and vision. IAIA is a tribal university whose low residency programs empower artists, writers, and community leaders through innovation and indigenous-centered education. Whether your path is creative writing, studio arts, or cultural administration, IAIA fosters respect, dialogue, and community. Applications accepted through February 15th at iaia.edu, who support this show.
If Creator takes me now, please don't cry. Rejoice with the world, play my music up high. I'll be at the river waiting for my dad and my grandma. Tell my niece I missed her and hello from Amanda. See my grandson smile, feels good to be here. Away from the glittering world, no more fear. There's pain in these songs, I don't know if you hear it. A tear for every word, hard to share my experience. Trying hard to be thankful when this anger gets a hold of me. My healing hasn't happened, the world keeps scolding me. I need a little help in these times, man, I'm trying. If I told you I wasn't scared in these moments, I'd be lying. It's hard being native, why is it we always suffer? Almost went extinct, can't even get running water. And just the other week, another girl, she went missing. Tried to tell the cops, they busy putting our man in prison. Border town hatred, pouring drinks to get faded. My friends think I'm famous, lifestyles.
You are listening to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce, and we're talking with actor and comedian Tatanka Means today. You can join us with comments and questions. We're at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Tatanka, let's talk more about your acting. You just wrapped up filming for a season of Ransom Canyon, which will be on Netflix. What can you tell us about the show and your role?
Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's like a cross between, I don't know, maybe like Yellowstone and Friday Night Lights, the football movie that came out a while back. Or is it Saturday night? No, it's Friday Night.
Friday Night Lights. Yeah, it was a movie and a TV show. It was a good one.
Yeah, yeah. There's several stories happening in it. It's kind of a drama. It's kind of a romantic thing. Yeah, my role in it is the lead in the one of the leads in the show has a ranch, and you know, my character was childhood friends with him for a long time growing up, and now he's kind of taking over this ranch, and I'm kind of the foreman, I guess, of his ranch, helping him run the day to day and kind of give advice moving forward through it, you know, working it together.
Sounds really exciting. When is it going to premiere? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard a date yet. I would say this spring, maybe in the summer, but I was expecting it to come out in the spring, but yeah, should be soon.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for it. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges we bring a lot of Native actors and other talented performers on the show is they'll talk about trying to avoid being typecast or lumped into a stereotypical type of category. And, you know, like, I mean, we know the cliches, right? There's, you know, the funny Native or like the warrior figure or somebody like that. What goes on behind the scenes for you when you pick your roles so you keep as many options open as possible?
Yeah, I feel, I mean, it's really hard, you know, having to navigate those kind of waters, you know, especially as my full-time job, you know, it's acting my full-time job. So when something comes along, you know, it takes, you really have to look into the project and look into the story, the script, you know, is it going to put our people in a good light or a bad light? And then, you know, you have to make that decision, you know, do you want to be a part of this or not? I've had to turn down things, you know, that didn't put us in a good light. But you know what? There's always somebody standing there that will take the job. That's kind of the thing here, man. There's just, you know, everybody's, seems like the film industry is really saturated right now, and everybody's trying to get in it, and everybody's trying to act, and which is great, you know, it's accessible now, not like long ago. Like when I started, you had to be living in LA and, you know, fly out for auditions or reside there in California. Yeah, it's kind of, sometimes it could be muddy waters, you know, having to pass on things, like I said, because it's my full-time job and, you know, you need to work, you need to provide, you need to have an income, but you know, you don't want to, you know, sacrifice your integrity or, you know, other people's integrity, other tribes that they're making a story about. And sometimes they don't even involve the tribes at all or, you know, try to reach out and collaborate with them, which is very frustrating. But, you know, I think things are getting better in those ways.
Right. There's definitely a lot more focus on issues like that, like you described, for sure. Tatanka, we've got a couple of callers already on the line. The first one is Clifton, who is listening on KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Clifton. You are on the air.
I just really appreciated, Tatanka, what you were saying about being in the moment, and wanted to express, you know, you're always very light in the moment. You're not heavy in the moment, and you, in that moment, you really inhabited the world of More Than Fry Bread completely, in the same way you inhabited the role of the FBI guy in a different world in Killers of the Flower Moon. And it was just fun to watch the same guy be in those two different worlds and be completely integrated in both. Thank you.
Cliff, thank you for calling in. Tatanka, that's funny that the caller mentions more than fry bread, because I've got a lot of friends who I'll reach out to sometimes when I'm doing the show, and I'll ask for advice, or like, you know, what should I ask for questions? And one of my really good friends, she's a designer, you might know her, Sage Mountainflower. And I texted her this morning. I said, hey, I'm going to be interviewing Tatanka Means today. And, you know, what should I ask him? What kind of questions? And she said, tell him I really liked him as Buddy Begay in More Than Fry Bread, and ask him if he'll share his fry bread recipe.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I'm glad people remember that movie. Thanks to the caller, Clifton, for those words. Wow, man, it just kind of blew me away. And yeah, those are two very different roles on the spectrum. But yeah, that was a fun movie. I'm glad people, you know, remember and saw it.
Well, here's another caller, and I know you listen to the show, so I know you know who this guy is, Chanupa, and he's up in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, of course, listening on Keeley Radio. Big Brother, hello. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Hello?
Yeah, Chanupa, you're on the air. We hear you, Chanupa.
Well, anyway, if you can hear me pretty good, Chachanta, Chachanta, I love you, man. Love you, your work. That you're doing for your dad a long time ago. I do a lot of stuff for that. And one of the things that I always do is I always remember you from doing your Sundance. And so for what you're doing for your dad is very beautiful. And so continue the work, my boy. So we'll see you then. All right? Have a good one from Pine Ridge. Aho!
All right, Chanupa, calling into the show. Jeez, hey. Tatanka.
Aho, Wopila, Lexi, appreciate that, man. I'm a big fan of Lexi Chanupa there, hearing him every day. It just warms my heart hearing him speak the Lakota language, Lakota Wogake. And thank you for your words, and I appreciate it. It means a lot. It really does.
Yeah, Chanupa, he keeps it real for us here at Native American.
You know, actually, I was listening to the radio to the show one time, and people were bringing up past actors, and Chanupa was the only one that brought up my dad, and I was really thankful for that, man, for remembering him and, you know, speaking his name, and that meant a lot. And ever since then, you know, he's always, you know, had a place in my heart.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your dad. Russell Means, huge figure in Native activism, and he also acted in major films too. Tatanka, what did you learn from your dad?
Oh man, he, you know, it's hard for me to talk about him because it's very emotional because I miss him so much, you know, and, you know, I wish he was still here today because, you know, I have kids now and I think he would have really enjoyed, you know, being a grandpa to them. And I would have enjoyed seeing him in that role as a grandpa to my children. But, you know, everything that I do, I always think about my dad, you know, and all the, any move that I make, you know, I always consider my dad. But the biggest thing he instilled in me is prayer, you know, is that prayer life, and to, you know, always, you know, always put that first, you know, the great mystery, and never to have fear, you know, to be fearless in your life, because the great mystery is going to take care of you. Wakantanka.
I know you grew up in Chinle, Arizona, but were you able to spend a lot of time up in Pine Ridge as well growing up?
I did here and there, you know. I was back and forth a lot because my dad went back so much. Several times he enrolled me in school up there. You know, I think in second grade, I moved back and went to school there. I lived with my brother Casey, who's the head coach now for the Pine Ridge Thorpes basketball team. And then I moved back in fifth grade and lived with my sister Michelle in Porcupine, and I went to school there. So, you know, the times that I you know, moved back, you know, it was a good time because I really got to know my relatives there. But yeah, we go back every year, and, you know, for ceremony, and renew every year. And it's always like a big family reunion.
And did you go to high school in Chinle then?
Yeah, yeah. I went to high school in Chinle. I graduated from Chinle Wildcats. Shout out to Chinle Wildcats out there. This was before the den, man. This was before. If you've ever been to Chinle, we have a huge I don't know what it holds now, like 8,000 people for the basketball gym. It's not even a gym. It's like a coliseum, man. But no, I was, when I went to high school, we had the community center. I think that held maybe 600 people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was, so, yeah, missed, right on.
Missed out on the den.
How does Chinle, that whole community, how does it show up in your work, your comedy, or your acting? Do you draw from that experience a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's my whole childhood, you know. Chinle is where I'm from. It's who I am. You know, no matter where I go in the world, you know, no matter where I'm performing, or, you know, on set, or, you know, doing whatever in the world, that's my home. You know, that's my heart. And when I think about home, when people ask me, you know, where are you from, that's where I grew up, you know, that's my community there. And yeah, it's everything, you know, in my comedy and in acting, you know, reflecting. You know, creating, it's there, you know, there or up north in the Black Hills.
Something people might not know about you is that you're a pretty serious boxer. You spend a lot of time boxing there at a gym in Chinle. You've had quite a few amateur fights. Tell us about that, what that sport means to you and what got you involved in the fight scene.
Oh man, yeah, I grew up boxing. Shout out to the Damon Bahi boxing team in Chinle, Arizona. They are a nonprofit. They don't receive any kind of funding. It's just ran by the family there. Johnny Bahi runs it. His dad, Cal Bahi, was my coach, and he ran it when I was there, him and Judy Bahi. And you know, it was just, you know, back in the woods, back by my grandpa's house, and they built the gym themselves. You know, man-made and back there. And yeah, they had a boxing gym and they had an amazing coach and several coaches, and they traveled nationally and they won. We competed, you know, silver gloves, golden gloves, junior Olympics. Some of their boxers there now are professional, but that was my outlet growing up. You know, I unfortunately didn't play team sports because I was so shy and I was so scared. To not know what I was doing, right? The rules of the game, that I never went out for team sports, but I joined a boxing gym. My dad boxed, my brothers boxed. And you know, it was kind of at that age where I was kind of acting out a little bit. So my mom actually took me to the boxing gym. And of course my dad loved it because he boxed and everything. So yeah, I boxed there for 7-8 years, won a couple of silver gloves championships, golden gloves, went to the junior Olympics. And it's in my heart, man. I still train to this day. I still box every day. I don't compete anymore, but I just train because I love it.
Uh huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear about a lot of people, just a great way to stay fit. Just a great workout. Mm-hmm. Overall.
Yeah. And there's a lot of boxing gyms across all the, you know, different reservations that I travel to. And, you know, I always give it up to all the kids and the youth, and just for getting out there, man, getting in the ring and answering that bell. It takes a lot of heart, and you're never too old to join, you know, to get in there and try it out.
Tatanka, we've got some more callers on the line. Another caller from Pine Ridge listening on Keeley Radio. This is Pete. I believe it's Pete Swiftbird. Pete, you are on the air.
Oh, guys, Keeley, 11 o'clock, Native American calling. How, Toshka? Good to hear from you. Just wanted to call and drop a couple memories on you that we went through. We did the Sundance with Russell up in Hesapa. You know, I lived out to the house, and I had a lot of good memories from that, from with you and Natani and your mom and everybody, and also the humor, you know, that went along with it. You know, I remember when Russ's book first come out, you know, and how mean he was looking. I remember Tatanka at the Sundance kind of said, he always looks like that. We all agreed. But Russell's work, and like Chanupa said, he's He said, Uncle Russell was our hero. So was Eddie Little Sky before him, you know, actors. And now Tatanka's in that same vein and other people. But the memories I have of Denver, of the Columbus Day March, one time we were down there, and this is just real short, and then I'll... Russell was mixing a look like red Kool-Aid. So I walked down to him right in front of the Capitol. And Tatanka and Natani were there. They were kind of in the back, laying, and all of us. I said, Lakshi, what are you doing? What the hell does it look like? You think I'm doing? Yeah, he looked up. Tahanshi, he said, I'm making blood. How's it look? I said, you need a little more black in there. So he put it in there, and what he did, Denver's finest were on horseback right there protecting the line between us and the Italians. He walked up, and he hit him with blood. Man, they beat him down. Of course, when your uncle does that, I did it. They beat me down. We were both zip-tied on the ground, and he looked at me, and he said, Sometimes, how do you say, being an activist can hurt. But I just wanted to leave you with that memory, and thank you for what you do and how you represent in your boxing and how you're a positive role model for our res and other reses. Aho, docha, mitake asi.
I appreciate that call, Pete. Wow, Tatanka. He sounds like goes way back with your family. Do you remember the red Kool-Aid?
I think I was too small for that, but man, it's really good to hear Pete's voice. Wopila, Pete, for calling in. That's my Lexi, my Tahanshi, and yeah, he did. He lived with my dad for a while, so I have a lot of memories of him and my dad together. And he was always in good spirits, Pete. You know, he always made us feel better. If my dad was, you know, in a mood or something, he would come in and tell a joke, and he's just a great storyteller like that. So, man, so good to hear your voice, Pete. Thank you, man. Wopila.
Tatanka, we're going to take another short break here in just a moment, but we're going to come back. I want to talk with you a little bit about Killers of the Flower Moon, because that's that's pretty fresh in everyone's mind still. And then I want to talk about your family as well, your children, you know, your role as a basketball dad, and some of those other really cool facts about your life. But, of course, we got to take a short time out, and we'll be right back. And we do have the phone lines open. We're going to take another caller as well when we come back from this break. We've got Jen, who's listening in East Texas online. So stay with us, and if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so. Just call 1-800-996-2848. Tatanka Means, our Native in the Spotlight in February here on Native America Calling.
Program support by AmeriCorps Vista, where you can kickstart your career and help others in your community. With AmeriCorps Vista, you can serve in an office setting and address issues of poverty while gaining career experience and building your leadership skills. Learn more by visiting AmeriCorps.gov/Vista today. That's AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Don't want all words wrong. To be bold is the best and then.
Thank you for listening to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce, and there is still time to join this conversation with our February Native in the Spotlight, Tatanka Means. Tell us, what is your favorite Tatanka Means film? Call us, 1-800-996-2848. Tatanka, let's go back to the phones. We have Jen. She is a regular listener in East Texas, and she listens to Native America Calling online. Hello, Jen. You are on the air.
Thank you so much, Sean. It's just so awesome. I'm a Cherokee living in East Texas, and I got to tell you that it just means so much to me that you're doing what you're doing as an activist, following in your father's footsteps. It just is so very important. And I'm extra happy to hear your humor, because I'm sure you grew up listening to Charlie Hill, and we just need that humor. And I know that someday you'll write a fantastic book. Thank you so much for everything.
Jen, thank you for calling in. Tatanka, feel free to respond.
Man, thank you so much, Jen, for your words. They mean a lot in taking it in. And yes, thank you for remembering Charlie Hill, one of our great comedians, the great comedian, grandfather of Native comedy. I was blessed to open up for him a couple times. And, you know, he gave me some great advice and some great notes. And, you know, I still use them to this day. And, yeah, I hope one day I can write a book, you know, just have a lot of thoughts up there that I need to put down on some paper one of these days. And then I'll narrate it myself.
it'll be a bestseller for sure. What about directing or producing? Is that on your agenda at some point in the future too?
It hasn't been, but you know, at this point in my career, you know, I have stories that I want to tell, and it, you know, being an actor, you're really kind of helpless in the industry. You know, you're at the mercy of being hired. And sometimes, you know, having creative input in the industry is hard when you're, you know, an actor. But when you're directing, you know, when you wrote the movie, when you're show running, you have so much more, you know, creative input. And you know, I'd love to step into that role sometime. And you know, I'm trying to write right now. It's really hard, difficult to write a film. But, you know, I have some things brewing that hopefully I can get out soon. So, yeah.
What is it that's difficult about writing a film?
It's different, you know, I've watched and learned and I've watched and read and listened to so many, you know, writers talk about film writing, and they're just like, get it out, just get it out. You know, whatever your idea is, the first draft is not, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. I think it's just that, it's just starting and keeping it going and where you're going next. I think a lot of people adapt from books, and I think that is, you know, I don't want to say easier, but maybe, you know, the much better route to take sometimes, because I think writing original screenplays sometimes is just, you know, for me, myself anyways, super difficult.
That makes sense. I mean, just starting from scratch like that, having to just create the whole story for sure. Of course, you acted alongside Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon. That movie just got a ton of press and notoriety. But I want to hear about a lesser known short film from about a decade ago. It was called VIP Universal. You were in it with Lily Gladstone and you played the creator. And there's a line where she says, "You look a lot like Tatanka Means." How often do people lay that line on you now?
Yeah, they drop that every now and then. You know, it's funny. Not a lot of people know about that. You know, I think it just came out on YouTube. But yeah, me and Lily, I think that was in 2012. We made that film, and I, you know, pretty much did it for, you know, free. But you know, just because we wanted to act and we wanted to create and it was a good story, and we shot that up in Montana. And you know, here we were, fast forward, you know, 10 years later, and or 8 years later, and we were on set with Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro and Jesse Plemons and John Lithgow and Brendan Fraser. It was crazy. You know, I was so happy for Lily. I'm so happy that, you know, she got the recognition that she deserved, because she's a super talented actress, and just, you know, just as good as any of those major A-list celebrities out there.
When you're filming a really big project like that, you mentioned all the A-list Hollywood talent that was involved in that project. Can you tell while you're on the set, like, hey, this is really going to be good? Can you kind of get a sense of that? Or
yeah, and you know, it's usually the tone is just set by the leader, and that for us on set was Martin Scorsese. And you know, he's been doing it so long that, you know, everything was just went really smooth. And you know, he worked so well with everybody and invited input and listened to people, you know, when they spoke, that was the tone, you know. And we knew you know, that something amazing was going to come out of it, and especially for all the input that they were taking from the Osage Nation. You know, they had a lot of input in the film, and I think that's why it was, you know, so successful.
Had you spent a lot of time down in Osage Country before the film?
Had I been there before? I'm not. I think I did went, yeah, several years ago. We were filming a movie in down in Chickasaw Country, and I think it was the Chickasaw Rancher. And me and my buddy Martin drove up to I think it was the Gray Horse dances that they were having during that time. I think it was in Gray Horse, maybe. But yeah, we went up there, and that was my first time just kind of being there in Wajaje Country there. And it was cool. Everybody's so nice and so welcoming. You know, shout out to all my Osage relatives and family out there. Everybody was really kind to me when I was filming out there. And the Stabler family put on a big dinner for me, because they had relations to the Omaha people. And it was just a beautiful experience.
All right, Tatanka, let's go back to the phones. This is Larry, Gallup, New Mexico, listening on KGLP. Hello, Larry. You are on Native America Calling.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Calling from Westside Gallup, Colin Mittenmore. Just want to make some highlights here of the young man here. I know his father from the Trail of Broken Treaties. Though I know him from playing basketball for the Phoenix Chiefs back in the days down in the big Southwest basketball tournament. And also know him from The Longest Walk. He invited us to his wedding over there in Chinle, over at Grandpa Grant's house. And we used to sweat there down in that wash, all that sand down there. So that's how I know your father, Nani. So, excuse me, your brother's not Nani. I know your brother too. So just want to congratulate you and keep up the good work. I seen one of your films, the one you boxed with the Chinle, I guess it's Damon's boxing team. I boxed for Lee Damon also in Good Shepherd Mission and Fort Defiance for 3 years. And I boxed in the silver gold fights over here in Farmington, New Mexico, and the old armory over there in Gallup. Oh, they used to call it the smoker back there. I don't know what they call it now. So my brother is Lenny Foster. So congratulations, nephew. You have a good one. Ahoo.
Larry, appreciate that phone call. Chinupa, a lot of people calling in who go way back with your family. Tatanka, I'm sorry, a lot of people calling in and going way back with your family. Go ahead and give a shout out back to Larry.
Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you very much for calling in and for your words and remembering my dad like that. You know, everywhere I go, people have stories, you know, about people in my family, not just my dad, you know, either it's my mom or my aunts, because they used to trick ride. They were trick riders. My Uncle Mark, they went all over the country trick riding back in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, people always tell me, you know, how they knew them or their experience with them or my dad or my uncles or, you know, now it's my brothers and my sisters. So I appreciate that, man. The connections like that, it's amazing. But yeah, Lee Damon, he started the Damon Bahi Boxing back in the day. And then they expanded after that. So that was cool, man. Thank you, Larry.
Tatanka, tell us more about your family, your children, and we keep referring to you as a basketball dad, and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know if I'm an official basketball dad yet, but yeah, my daughter, she started playing last year, and she's in seventh grade now, but she's creeping up on six foot, you know, she's getting up there. So she's put in the work, and it was hard at first, but she's getting better. And so, you know, we're making our way around to a lot of basketball tournaments and, you know, hitting the basketball trail on the weekends. And so you'll be seeing me around at tournaments because my daughter plays. But yeah, it's busy. I have three kids. I have a three-year-old, a six-year-old, and my daughter, she just turned 13. And, you know, when I'm home, I'm just absorbing my family, you know, appreciating, you know, every day, every second, just being around them. Because it's hard, you know, leaving them when I'm on the road. In the fall, I was on the road constantly, you know, traveling, which I'm grateful for. You know, I'm grateful for the invitations to travel and go places and, you know, help people laugh, spread laughter and the good medicine of laughter. But you know, it's hard to sacrifice to leave my family. And right now, January and February is always a downtime. So yeah, I'm just absorbing my family right now, trying to get back and be healthy again. Man, it was hard being on the road. You know, you get off the health tip, man. You get unhealthy, you know, eating on the road, not having time to work out. So yeah, I'm enjoying just being home and bus driving my family around every day. Three kids, three different schools. You know, I'm a bus driver when I'm home.
Well, you mentioned your children are 3, 6, and 13 years old. I have a daughter who's 11, so she's about that same age. And do you ever look at your kids and try and imagine what they'll be like someday when they're elders, when they're going to be like in their 80s or 90s?
Oh, my gosh. I haven't done that yet, but, man, that makes me laugh thinking about it now. Man, I just hope they're good people, man. I just, you know, that's what we want to raise is good people and strong people, strong little warriors out there and just to be kind and good to people in the world.
What do you think the future holds for Native people, Tatanka? Where do you see us headed? When our children become grandparents or parents and grandparents themselves?
That's a really hard question. I really don't know, man. I mean, with technology, you know, I hope that we're taking advantage of it now. And just with like the language, you know, with the language, I think it's very important. You know, we need to keep our language going. We need to learn as much as we can. I think it's a crucial time in history, in our time right now. But then there's the other side of it. You know, I don't think we need to be filming ceremonies. I don't think we need to be filming, you know, everything. And posting everything on the internet for everybody because, you know, those things are special and, you know, they weren't meant to be shown all over the world, but all over the world can come to us, you know, they can come to us and be with us if they're invited to those kind of social things. But, you know, I hope we still have our ways intact, you know, and shout out to all of our medicine people out there and all of our language learners out there. All the people who are putting that time in for ceremonial ways, you know, I think it's easy to get distracted now with the internet and social media and things like that. But it takes work, you know, to look away from that and to put the time in to our culture and our traditions and our language and our ways.
We've got time for one more caller. This is Charlene listening on KSUT up in Shiprock, New Mexico. Hello, Charlene. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Hi, Tatanka. It's Mrs. Dearly. I hope you're doing well. I just was listening to the interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I finally was able to take a minute and sit down and watch you and Killers of the Flower Moon. I just wanted to say good job, man. Like, come a long way. I first met you at the Miss Navajo Nation pageant. You were an MC, and we were sitting down, we were having lunch, and I had no idea who you were. I point blank asked you, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your work. Who are you? And we just all had a really good laugh, and you were like, get this girl away from me. And it was a good time, and, you know, it's good to see everything that you're still doing in the community. You know, thank you so much for always being humble and representing us Native America in an amazing way, and I hope to run into you again along your journey. And I just wanted to say good luck in your future endeavors, and I just wish you all the best, and it's good to see you. Take care.
Thanks for that call, Charlene. Chinupa, gee, what's going on with me here? Tatanka, I got Chinupa on the brain. Tatanka, we got about a minute before we have to wrap up. Please go ahead and respond.
Yeah, thank you, Charlene, for your call, man. Charlene, she's good medicine. She has a good laugh, and she is super talented. And I think she's doing comedy now, man. I'm going to see her out there on the comedy trail now. So keep going, Charlene. Thank you for your call. Yes, I remember the first time that we met. And, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago, man. People tell me these stories. I'm like, man, that was like last year maybe, you know. And you're like, no, that was about 10 plus years ago.
Right on. Oh, this is great, Tatanka. I'm sorry we're out of time. We're going to have to wrap up the conversation, but we took some great calls, and I learned a lot about you, and I'm just excited. I'm so excited for your career and what's next for you. Thank you, brother, for joining the show, and just best of luck to you and your family going forward.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Native American Calling. Thank you, everybody that called in. I appreciate it, and just wish good things to everybody hearing this right now, and good medicine to everybody, and hope to see you soon somewhere.
All right. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Tatanka Means, and we will be back again next week, starting with the National Congress of American Indians State of Indian Nations Address. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our producers are Andy Murphy and Sol Traverso. Joe Thompson is the UNM Local News Fellow. Marino Spencer is the engineer. Show McPoland is the digital producer. Nola Daves Moses is the distribution director. Bob Peterson is the network manager for Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our national underwriting sales director. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor for National Native News. Charles Sather is our chief operations officer. The president and CEO of Quantic Broadcast Corporation is Jacqueline Salee. Have a safe weekend. I'm Sean Spruce.
MFA programs at the Institute of American Indian Arts, IAIA, honor your voice and vision. IAIA is a tribal university whose low residency programs empower artists, writers, and community leaders through innovation and indigenous-centered education. Whether your path is creative writing, studio arts, or cultural administration, IAIA fosters respect, dialogue, and community. Applications accepted through February 15th at iaia.edu, who support this show.
Support by the American Indian College Fund. The American Indian College Fund provides millions of dollars of scholarships to thousands of Native students every year. Tribal citizens of every age and experience are eligible. The deadline for applications is May 31st, and you can find everything you need to apply at collegefund.org. That's collegefund.org, or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Education is the answer.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Quantic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.